Another is in a little, it's part of View Fort, but it is a community called, a little village called Oje. And so we work with a church there that is called Spirit Word Fellowship. And then we work with a church now in Castries called Christian Revival Center. All three of them are doing wonderful works, work for the Lord.
Yes.
And it is always fun to sit and to hear and to see what God is doing through the younger ministers, and how that they are taking what they're learning and they're training their teams and they're raising up their teams. And we just get to be part of it. That's what's so exciting. We just get to be part of it. And so we have had some things happen, and I'm sure that you're going to share some of those things. We've had some things happening. The enemy does not want the gospel to be proclaimed. It doesn't matter where you're proclaiming the gospel. He doesn't want the gospel to be proclaimed. And so there have been some things that will come up, and the enemy is trying to stop the gospel. He doesn't mind religion when religion doesn't involve a relationship with Jesus. If it's just a form of godliness and it denies the power of God, the devil doesn't care about that. But when you come with a message that says, let's have a real relationship with Jesus, let's teach people how to walk this out, not just a feel-good message, but let's walk it out. Let's walk with people. Let's lock arms and walk with people. And when you do that, the devil is not happy, but he's still under our feet. It doesn't matter what he thinks. He's still under our feet. So it takes boldness wherever you're at. You could be here, you could be there, you could be anywhere in between. Wherever you are at, it takes boldness to follow Jesus and to say to people, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You can keep that. Hallelujah. Well, this morning is some of you know, and known us for many years, and some of you don't, but we pastored here probably 22 years, I think it was, and we first started out over across the way at the very old McDonald's. Some of you guys weren't around then. Praise God. And it was a very easy place to find, but no one knew where it was at. And right behind McDonald's. And so anyway, sometimes we heard that the drive-thru at McDonald's could hear us singing and praising the Lord through the drive-thru. But the Lord told us after we first took over pastorship there, he said, we're coming out of the alleyway. And God saw fit. He saw something in the ones that were at Spirit Life at that time that, hey, they need to move on. They need something bigger and better. And I was thinking as I pulled in, and I was thinking of the time we probably had about 40, 50 people here. We brought out the shovels and we broke ground. You remember that, Mark? You came up, and I thought, well, at least I can get out in Mark's truck if I get stuck. And so we all came up and we did that. And right over here in front of the doors, we planted a Bible, opened it up to Psalms. May the Lord light unto your path. And so we want everyone to have the light of Jesus as they go out. We put, I don't know, the river rocks going throughout here, because in John it says that out of your bellies shall flow rivers of anointings. And we didn't want to be a church that was just the inside church. We wanted anointings and outreaches and things coming out of the church like never before. We wanted to see new churches. We wanted to see outreaches. We wanted to see all these things. And praise God, we did. Amen. Amen. And then the Lord said, it's time to move on again for us personally. And that's when we accepted the call to go to the mission field. And we've been having a great time. Don't feel sorry for us. Support us, but don't feel sorry for us. No. And some of you get our emails, newsletters and stuff, which we're working on one now to update everybody on what's going on. But we've been just serving the Lord. And let me tell you what, when you go to a country and your skin color is different, you stick out. Yeah. Everywhere you go, they remember you. Yeah. And so anyway, I want to minister this morning on crisis, how to overcome crisis. And we all hit crisis in our lives. You know, you can have your positive confession all you want, and that's good, but a crisis will come. And really, how you determine how you're going to handle a crisis determines how you'll come out of that crisis. And that's what I want to mention on. And so I just want to mention a few of the little crises that, you know, you might have in life. You know, back when you're in school, maybe not studying for the test and trying to figure out how you're going to pass that test. That's crisis. Amen. You know, when we flew back in, the last time we flew back, February. Yes, it was February, yes. We flew back, and when we left, they dropped us off at the airport, and we were thinking we're good. So I had the pastor bring our van, and he was going to pick us up at the airport, but they would not let him in the airport. They wouldn't let anybody in the airport except the people coming off the planes, and then you had to go to the hotel, or you had to take a cab, and we had no idea. So we sat there arguing with them. Our car, I can almost see my car outside the gate there. They're waiting for me, so you cannot go out that way. So we had to pay for a cab, and then our van followed us home. And so, you know, you start thinking, what are we going to do about this crisis? And you finally figure out, well, I can't do nothing about this, so let's go with something else. And God always leads us, and it worked out great. And, you know, oh, yeah, but Chelsea, our bank cards ran out from the United States Bank. And so Chelsea mailed us our new debit cards that came in the mail. And that took 2 months to get to us. By that time, it already expired and everything. I mean, it's like, okay. I thought a month early, I was ahead on this thing. And I thought a month, send me those things. They should be here within a month. No, it was 2 months and a few days. Amen. The island next to us erupted a volcano in St. Vincent. And I can't think of the name of that volcano right now. But anyway, La Chaffrere. And it blew up, and all the ashes flew over 42 miles to our island. And it contaminated our water, so we could not drink our water on the island for a while. But praise the Lord, we came. We had a strong water filter, and we called and made sure that it was tested. And it was. They said, yep, you can do it. So we were good. Amen. The first hurricane of the year hit St. Lucia. I don't know if you guys remember that. I can't even think of the name of it now. Anyways, a hurricane level one. First hurricane, official hurricane. Well, we went through some light ones when we were there other times, but this was like for us being there by ourselves. We were hurricane level one, and so we're bunkered down. And, you know, the wind just started blowing, and, you know, it was just really nice. I opened up all the windows. I mean, house was airing out. It's just such, you know, it's a cool breeze when it's like that. It's raining and whatnot, and it was just nice. We have a porch basically all around our house pretty much, except for our master bedroom, and has a little off porch. And so the wind wasn't strong enough to blow into the windows and stuff, so we were just staring at the house and stuff. And then all of a sudden, winds changed. It was going this way. It turned around and came back this way with force. And we're in the kitchen. Actually, we were fixing a sandwich for lunch. And we were just kind of watching the trees. We were up high. We're kind of in a good spot for that. And but I didn't think about the bedroom, having the windows open there. And it got on our computer, and it ruined my wife's computer. So, crisis. My wife needs a computer. Amen. Half her life is getting things done on the computer. And so, but God supplied a new computer. Glory to God. So, amen. It took a little while to get there, but God got it there to us. Amen. So we're excited about that. And on May 28th, our van that we had, it's like a minivan. They call it it's a Toyota Voxy, and a little eight-seater thing. It got into a wreck. And we got to find out what the systems are like in another country. We found out it takes at least 10 weeks to get a police report before you can turn it in and to the insurance. The insurance obviously wants to see the police report, like they do here. We found out that going in and acting like an American, it doesn't work. Why can't you get this done? I need this thing. And I don't know if it delayed it, but it sure didn't help it. And so crisis. So we're having to use a rental car. And the guy was really nice. Days that we didn't need a car, it could stay at our house, but we didn't drive it and he didn't charge us. And so that was a blessing. And so a little bit ago, I guess a couple of weeks, I feel like I got to straighten this out. It's just so nice. And was able to replace our vehicle, so we're happy about that. And so you know, you just, no matter what you do, there's different crises. Some are big, some are small. And, you know, you got to figure out how you're going to handle these things and what are you going to do and who are you going to call on. Don't call Ghostbusters. Amen. Call on the Holy Ghost. Amen. But if you want to turn your Bibles with me this morning, and we're going to look at some word here. And we're going to figure out how to get through crisis this morning. And so Mark chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 46. This is about blind Bartimaeus. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Now when they came to Jericho, he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. That was his job. That's what he did. He'd been in this crisis so long that it was common. It was normal. He knew it wasn't right, but that was his life. And nothing he could do about it. It was beyond his help. And when he heard that Jesus, the son of Nazareth, verse 37. And when he heard that it was Jesus, son of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. I'm telling you what, some good people, without knowing it, will hinder you from getting to Jesus. Amen? Not intentionally, but it just works that way sometimes. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, thank God. He had that didn't give up attitude. I'm going to make it through the hurricane. I'm going to get done. I'm going to go through. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. I like that part. Amen. Jesus stood still. Something grabbed his attention and caused him to... That's what we want. You know, when I'm crying out to God, I want him to... Hey... Something's coming in from Bullhead City.
Amen.
Amen. Lately it's been St. Lucia for me, but anyhow. Where does it say that he stopped at? 49. Okay. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. I love that part. He knew he was in crisis, but he knew that the answer was walking right in front of him and that change had to happen. And he started throwing off his garments. Amen. Because what that jacket represented was saying, hey, I'm a beggar. I need help. And he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabboni. Did I say that right? Rabboni. That I don't know my Greek as well as I should. I'm sorry. Or is that... No, that would be Hebrew here. Yeah. That I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So our story starts here with blind Bartimaeus sitting by the wayside. He has a crisis in his life. He's had it for years and years and years, and it's become normal to him. But he knows something, that he's heard about this Jesus guy, that healing has been taking places, deliverance has been taking places, and he's coming down my road. Yes. Glory to God. And he says, I'm going to do something about this. Some of you might have come here today and you have crisis in your life. Well, maybe you've been working for many years and they decide to downsize. And you're without a job or going to be without a job. You know, this last 2 years, it's like crisis, COVID crisis every day. What am I going to do now? We're going to be stuck at home again. Oh, I hope not the toilet paper crisis again. And, you know, these things that go on. And so crisis has happened. But I want to know that, I want to tell you today that a crisis can be a turning point in your life. Amen? I'm not saying Jesus caused any of this. But I'm saying there's a mean devil out there that he's out to kill, steal, and destroy from you, out to take away from you, out to knock you down, excuse me, out to tear you up. But I got good news. And I've said this many times here. I said it many times here and I can't even remember it. It's a setup for your comeback. It's a setup. It might knock you down. It might turn you around. Your hair might be all messed up. But you're coming up. You're coming out. You're going through. Amen. Because that's what we do. Now, a defeated Christian, I guess I'll never have another job. I remember one time the only job I got fired at. I know it's sad. And my partner, we kind of got set up a little bit. But anyhow, you know, I was looking for a job when I got that one. You know, so anyway, he is so mad. He drove that day to work. We was driving from Southern California down about 60, 70 miles into Los Angeles area. And we were driving in a Pinto. That don't bring back some memories. Amen. And I remember he was so mad, he was yelling and screaming all the way home. And I said, Chuck, we were looking for a job when we got this one. I said, my God's going to supply me another job. I don't know about you. And he did. And I got a job before Chuck did. I could have kind of told him your mouth hindered you, but you know. Anyway, Bartimaeus had a crisis problem, a condition he could not handle himself. He could not heal himself. He could not change the way he was in the situation. Let me give you a definition for crisis. It's a problem, our situation, our condition that is beyond your control, our ability to change. Amen. I want to give you a couple more examples of some crisis. You remember in chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years? Man, she spent everything she had. She done everything she could do. She called on every doctor she could call on, every physician. And that's, you know, that's what we do. Amen. But she did know about Jesus. And she knew that Jesus was coming out down her block. And she said, I'm going to break all the COVID rules. I'm going to come out of my house. I'm going to reach for the hem of his garment. And she did. Hallelujah. She got healed. She was in crisis. She didn't know what she was. It was beyond her. But she knew who could help her in the crisis. Amen. I am saying there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. We go to doctors. But I'm saying we know the healer. Yes. Amen. And during that same chapter, you remember Jairus, the synagogue leader, he came to Jesus, looked for him. See, I want you to know that all of these were looking for Jesus. None of them were just, well, if I run across him. No. Blind Bartimaeus heard he was coming down the street and he called out for him. The lady with the issue of blood, man, she came out of her house and she pressed through the crowd. Amen. Probably with her last strength is why she got the hem of his garment. She had not much strength. And she got through. We see how Bartimaeus turned his crisis into a turning point. I want to give you three things that we see that people need to do in a crisis to get you out. Number one, you can't be helped until you realize you need help.
Amen.
Amen. Many years we've worked with several addicts, addicted, alcohol, drugs. And for a long time, they say, I can quit this anytime. Then why don't you? Well, I don't want to. Then you're going to stay where you're at. I say, you're going to have to quit drinking. Well, I don't really have a problem. But you have a problem. So until you admit it, you won't get any help. Jesus is there to help. But if you won't admit that you have a problem and that you're okay, perfect, and we know that's a lie, then you're going to stay where you're at. Bartimaeus knew he had a problem. He couldn't see. Amen. He made a choice to cry out to Jesus. Your life up to this date is a thing of your choices you've made. Amen?
Yes.
Who you married? Amen. Unless it was an arranged marriage, you picked your spouse.
Yeah.
I think parents should have that right. But anyway, we don't seem to want to do it that way here. But that got me messed up. What was I talking about? Oh, the choices that you made. You make choices. Amen. You make choices. Am I going to go on to college, or am I going to go to trade school, or am I just going to get in the workforce? We make choices. All of them are okay choices. But you need to find out what God wants you to do and make the right choice. See, we've known a lot of people that went a lot of years making the wrong choices. And when they look behind them and they see their life and they see, oh, how long they were messed up. And then you get some that really relied on God from an early age, and you look like and they just kind of got a straight line with a little bump here and there. Because the choices that they made were choices set upon the Word of God and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding them. And when we have the Holy Spirit guiding us, we make right choices. They're not always easy choices, but they're the right choices. So, the right choice can turn your life around. The other thing we see that he did is he conquered pride. One of the biggest thing for people not receiving from God is the spirit of pride. Pride would tell you, I got this. I'm going to get through this. I. And we need to be saying, Jesus is going to help me. Jesus is going to guide me. You remember in 2 Kings, the true life event that happened, and his name was Nahum. I always say Naaman, but it's Nahum. Naaman. I always say Nahum, and it's Naaman. Yeah. And my wife helped me with that one day. If you say that one wrong one more time, no. You can't do that story. No. But anyway, in 2 Kings chapter 5, and let's look here at verse 10. And Elijah, Naaman came to the king of Israel, and he said, My person sent me, and he had leprosy. He was a great fighter for the Syrian and army, I believe it was, and he was just a great warrior. And so his king sent him over to Jerusalem king, and that king had a fit because, okay, what are you trying to do, cause war with me and all these things? And so then Elisha said, send him over to me. In verse 10 it says, "And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean.'" Okay, this is what pride does. "And Ahab became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I say to myself, he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and wave his hands all over the place and heal me of this leprosy.'" Well, sometimes we get our own thing and what we think God's going to do. And Nahum thought, "Well, I'm going to go there, and this man of God is going to come out and greet me." He didn't even come out and greet him.
Right.
How rude. Well, someone like this guy here, he expects to have a face on face. And sometimes when we're dealing with problems and things, we think this is how God is going to do it. We get our expectations on this is what God's going to do. And it's going to be so good. I'm going to be able to testify. And you're going to still be able to testify, but when God does it his way. And when he does it his way, it won't be your way. Why? So you don't take any credit for it. Amen. We're credit takers. Ooh. Build me up. Make me look a little taller here. Yeah. Just made my 6 foot. No. But God has his own way of doing things. And so finally, he brought a crew with him when he came there. And, you know, one of his guys was smart enough to say, verse 12, "Are you not the rivers of Damascus?" Oh, no, verse 13. "And his servant came near him and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then would he say to you, wash and be clean?'" Excuse me. And so that got to him. Praise God. Have somebody around you with a little bit of wisdom. Thank you, Lord. So he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan River. Now let me tell you what. Elijah told him 7. You know how many times he dipped? 7. He didn't come out on the 3rd time and say, "Ah, this is stupid." He might have thought that.
Amen.
He might have thought, why am I getting in this dirty lake or river for? This makes me so mad. But being obedient has something to do with this thing.
Yes.
And so on the 6th time, PT, paraphrasing, I would think he'd be thinking, surely I'd start seeing these healing up. You know, you'd think something would be different. But let me tell you what, when God tells you 7, he doesn't mean 6. He doesn't mean 3. He means 7. And he did the 7th time, and his skin came out of that river Jordan like baby skin. Amen. Fresh, new skin. Pride will tell you that you can do it all yourself. Pride would tell you real men don't cry out to God. Pride would tell you, your friends are watching you. You better be glad you got some friends watching you. It could be good, could be bad. But let me tell you what, when you're obeying God and they're watching you, they start seeing something. Hey, I want to know a little bit more about that God that healed you. Touched your body. Amen. If Bartimaeus would have kept his pride, he would have missed out on his healing.
Yes.
If he would have listened to his friends, he would have stopped yelling, "Son of David, have mercy on me." But he wanted to overcome crisis. And that was through Jesus. Amen. Never be too proud to cry out to Jesus. They tried to tell him to quit. "You're too emotional. You're too loud. You're making too much noise." But let me tell you what, when it comes to God touching me, when it comes to me reaching out to God, I don't care what I sound like. I don't care what it looks like. I want to get a hold of him because this crisis needs a turning point. And this turning point needs to start happening now. Amen? He cried all the louder with volumes. And it got Jesus' attention. Amen. I want to tell you, sometimes you don't always get Jesus' attention on the first cry out. You notice he didn't stop. He got a little louder. Sing a little louder. Amen. He got a little, you might have said, it might be a little ugly praise. He got a little bit ugly. It didn't sound the best. He wasn't tuned in. He didn't have the choir behind him. But he had a voice that said, if I make a joyful noise on the Lord, if I cry out to him, my God, he's going to heal me. He's going to touch me. He's going to deliver me. He's going to set me free. Glory to God. And I'm not going to stop till I get his attention. Amen. You got to have some gumption in your praise. You got to have some gumption in your prayer. You got to have some gumption about you when you serve the Lord. Jesus is tired of wimpy Christians. I can tell you that. You act all really good here, but come Monday morning when somebody aggravates you at work, it's the old you that shows up. The old me's clocking in today. Oh, yeah. The old me always said what's on my mind. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians to put on the new man. And the new man says that you're full of joy, you're full of love, you're full of patience, you're full of long-suffering. You're not the same man no more. Through Jesus, we changed. Glory to God. That's what discipleship is about. Getting your feet on solid ground. Amen. So that he can clean you up. And make you look better than you ever did. Amen. Glory to God. Am I spitting on you, Gabe? Oh, okay. Sorry. I still get excited a little bit. Yeah, you can shower and you get home. But Bartimaeus said, this is the day. If there's any day to change my crisis and turn it around, it's today. Jesus is coming on my street. Woo! Man, you know what? We don't have to wait for Jesus to come down Silver Creek anymore. Oh, because Jesus says, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. So he went away. Oh, and then in the upper room, through a mighty wind, came blowing in. And the Holy Spirit was released that day. And those 120 in there. And then those 12 changed the world. Amen. So we need to realize, hey, I've got world-changing ability in me through Jesus Christ. I've tried to change the world by myself. Didn't work. But I found out that if I live a life for Jesus, people start asking me, what's different about you? I've had people do that upon secular jobs. Why are you so calm? I remember one time when I was working for the school district, there were some changes coming along with some bus routes and different things, and this guy was so mad, they're changing my route. They're giving me a... I can't repeat those words. And I finally said, hey, why don't you wait and see if change isn't so bad? You know, and about a month later, he came to me and said, this is the best route ever. I love my new route. I said, well, it wasn't like that a month ago. What happened? You know? But people start seeing a difference in you. So you can help them in their crisis. Help them see a turnaround in their crisis. Why? Because they'll see, hey, you went through this. You went through that. And it didn't even look like you went through it. Because of Jesus. Jesus called, Bartimaeus called out to Jesus. I love it that when Bartimaeus got up, he cast away his garment. He cast it away. That is not my dress no more. That is not my uniform. Everything that identified him as being a beggar, that tied him to his past, he threw it off. Over in St. Lucia, they have, they're like 12-passenger vans. They call them buses. There are mini buses or whatever. And that's how everybody travels around it, that are not mobile. You have to say mobile. If you say car, they're mobile. And you can't call, we call kids here, kids. You say kids, hey, how's your kids? They kind of look at you like, what are you calling my kid, a goat? So you have to say children. So we've been learning a few things. But anyhow, everything that identified him. But anyway, I don't know where I was getting to. On one of the buses I read, don't blame me or don't talk to me about my past. I don't live there anymore. And I thought, man, that is a great statement. And I said it about two times. One more time, then I'll say I came up with it. But anyhow, but that's a great statement. I don't live in my past no more. We will live where Jesus puts us. Amen. So he got to see his turnaround. The lady with the issue of blood, her crisis turned around. Jairus, they even came to him and said, don't bother the teacher no longer, for your child passed away. Before he could even tell Jesus, Jesus told him, only believe. Amen.
Amen.
You know, after being in the ministry so many years, you have so many people come to you, so many different crises, so many different things. You know, someone got in a serious wreck, da, da, da. You know, you get all these prayer requests. And I don't want to say all the time, but a lot of time I would say, okay, it's time to stay in faith and not get in fear. Because fear will destroy us. Faith will build us up. Faith sees the victory. Faith gets us through. And a lot of times they hung on and they watched what they said, watched what they did, and they saw the victory. Glory to God. Not everything in your life is going to be a crisis. But when they do come along, you got to know how to handle them. You got to know, hey, this crisis is going to turn around. Amen. So you got to trust the Word. You got to trust the Holy Spirit. You got to trust that He's leading you in the right direction.
Amen.
And sometimes it don't make sense. Sometimes it don't make sense. But when you're following Him, it will make perfect sense in due time. So we need to follow Him. Crisis. There's turning points in crisis. They don't last forever. You ever see a young child and all of a sudden something didn't go right and their emotions are not built up very far, so their emotions and they're in crisis and they let you know. And they cry and you go console them and hug them and let them know everything's going to be all right. Well, as adults, we just need to cry out to Jesus. See, Lord, I know you didn't cause this, but I'm thankful I'm getting through this. Every day with our car, you know, we would call the police department. Hey, I'm calling about my police report. One day I'd act cheery. Next day, I'm calling about that police report. And they'd always say, their first thing, oh, they're not working today. And then you go down there the next day, and then they say they're not working, and then you see them. Oh, there he is. Oh, I guess he is working. But you know what? My confession was, we're getting a better car. We're getting a better vehicle. Money's going to come in to pay for this rental car. Just because the enemy got us to an accident. I don't even know if it was an accident. It might have been our foolishness. But anyway, it happened. Quit trying to figure everything out. It just happened. You know what? But I knew the outcome. I didn't want it to be as long as it was. But the outcome changed. Amen. We could have gave up and just flew home and said, forget it. I didn't know if they was going to reinsure us, because we'd only been insured with them about 6-8 months, something like that. About a year, almost a year. But they did. They reinsured us at a higher rate. But crisis come, and crisis got to go. And really, sometimes it's up to you how long the crisis lasts. When you're going to get your mouth right. When you're going to start speaking the word over it. When you're going to start doing something about it. Amen. So crisis comes. I don't know how many today are here in crisis. Could be small. Like I say, some are small, some are big. But crisis comes. But I got good news. Crisis goes. And if you need prayer this morning, I want to pray for you, because just in this last year, we've had a lot of little crises, some big crises. But God has got us through every one of them. Amen. So if you have crisis in your life, I want to pray for you. Be big, small. But what I do know, Lord wants to touch you this morning. Go in Jesus' name. Oh, we glorify you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, la la bahasana, la 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 bahasana, la 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 la. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.